If you Google the word Malacca, sorry, Malaysian, if you Google Malaysian food, you'll find it's not a single classic or a single cuisine, but it's made up of a whole range of ingredients, Chinese, Indian, Malay. But there's also a genre of Malaysian food that's not as well known, although it's just as essential to the country's culinary DNA. Adeline's been to check it out. So can you tell us a little more?
I can indeed, Graham. It's called Peranakan or Nonya food, and you've just indicated that you've had a bit of a taste of some of it.
I
personally love it. Even in Malaysia, it's not as easy to get because its cooks come from a rather specific group of people who live mostly in the Malaysian state of Malacca. That is about 2.5 hours drive south from Kuala Lumpur, the capital city, or KL. I'm pretty lucky that my husband comes from Malacca. He's a big foodie, most Malaysians are. And he found a newish Nonya restaurant called Unicorn Cafe. It had rave reviews online, so he just had to make a beeline for it, of course. The young lady behind it is Yvonne Yeo, and I also later introduce you to a maker of Nonya cakes. But first, we have a popular Malaysian folk song called Rasa Sayang. It's by local artist Hani Soraya, and that'll take us to Yvonne at the Unicorn Cafe. Yvonne, thank you for speaking with us.
Nice to be here.
Can you explain Peranakan food by maybe first telling us what the word Peranakan means?
Peranakan is actually a culture mixture between the Indonesian and also the Chinese. So back in the olden days, during our ancestor time, where the Indonesian businessmen, they come here and then they marry the local Chinese, and that's where the word Peranakan actually come from. So it's like the Straits Bond. So
you're talking about maybe 500 years ago?
Probably, yeah. It's during our ancestral, maybe my great-great-grandmother's time.
How would you say Peranakan food is different to the rest of Malaysian cuisine?
Oh, Peranakan food is actually very rich in spices. Malaysian food, they have their own spices too, but they use common spices, and it's just probably a combination of like one or two spices. But for a Peranakan dish, they actually combine like 5 to 6 different spices to make a single dish. And every single dish is you really have to handcraft the rempah, which is the paste, to cook the chicken or the meat. You can't get the paste outside. You have to handcraft it yourself.
So it sounds like there's a lot of layers of flavor. It's quite complex.
Yep, they will start from like the garlic and then the onions, and then they have like the salted bean paste, and then there's many layers of like raw materials before they actually craft out the paste for the dish itself.
So it sounds like it could be quite a bit of hard work, a lot of mortar and pestle action going.
Actually, yeah.
What is the story of this shop? Because you're the owner of the Unicorn Cafe. Has it been in your family for long?
Actually, this shop is coming to 18 months. It's really, really new. Yes, it's really new. I was actually working in KL. I was doing public relations, and this field is totally out of my league. And I'm attached to an air steward. So we have plans to settle down here in Malacca, and both of us happen to be Peranakan, and it's like we grew up with Peranakan food, and we feel like why not we touch the Malacca people with the authentic Peranakan food instead of what they have in the market. So that is why we came up with this shop, and that's why we have not much of varieties in our menu because as our tagline goes, it's Peranakan favourites. So basically our dishes are all like all the Peranakan favourites from the olden days, and most of the dishes you can't get in the outside market because it's all pork free. So we are serving pork in our shop.
It's a lovely shop. It's very, I guess, typically Peranakan because you've got all these decorative pieces like those beautiful tiffin carriers that are done in a Nonya Baba style, which is very colourful. Some people say that it is a dying culture, Peranakan, because young Peranakans are moving away, living the city life. You've done the reverse.
Yeah, it's really, really true, and it's really sad that the culture is actually dying in my generation. It's really, really dying because the parents do not expose them to like the culture since they were young. On my end, we were brought up in the Peranakan Association in Malacca, where we take part in like their dances and all the performances, and so we are really much involved with all the Peranakan activities. Like every year they have a convention and we will take part. And the funny thing is that the Peranakan generation now, it's dying, but the ones that are embracing the culture, it's the non-Peranakans.
So you're talking about maybe your Malay or Chinese or Indian friends?
Yeah, actually, I have seen a lot of my Singaporean friends. They're actually really intrigued by the culture that they are wearing, starting to wear like all the Nyonya kebayas. And
that's the traditional costumes.
Yeah, and then they will have like all the decorative items in their house. And it's really nice to see, like, and hopefully with that the culture will not die off. Like the future generations will still be able to see the culture, although it's not by our own Peranakan generation.
You sound like you'd be a great spokesperson for Peranakan's younger generation. Can I ask how old you are?
I'm only 26 this year.
That's fantastic. And for this restaurant, is this what you plan to do for a very long time?
Yeah, of course. At the moment, it might look like it's just a really, really small business. But me and my boyfriend, once we have settled down, we actually have like a lot of plans for this shop. And we really hope to touch other states in Malaysia, like KL. And we have friends telling us, like, you should go to Australia. You know, that's a place where no one has actually tasted the pure Peranakan food. You should actually go to Australia. I say we will see, but at the moment, we are focusing on Malacca. And hopefully, we will be able to branch it out into a breakfast and bed. So it's dining and also a budget hotel, like boutique hotel upstairs.
Yvonne Yeo, I wish you the very best of luck. And I know the food here is fantastic, so I'm sure you'll do very well.
Thank you so much.
I'm now on my way to another Peranakan food destination that specializes in the Peranakan cakes. My sister-in-law, who lives in Malacca, first drove me to this place, and it's a bit of an adventure to get there. We've gone off a main street, which had a blink and you'll miss it sign, and we've come to a road so narrow with drains on either side, so a slight swerve of the steering wheel either direction could land us in a bit of drain water. But once you pass that, amazingly, the stretch of road opens up to a small housing area. The last time I came was in the afternoon, which is a popular time to come, and I was confronted with such contrasts, which is quite common in Asia. But cement houses with cracked paint and the household laundry in front of the house, and then right next door, luxury cars parked at Baba Charlie's, which is our destination. These cars probably came from Kuala Lumpur or Singapore, and they're all after this specialty, which are Malaysian cakes called kuih. The man behind it is Baba Charlie. I go past his mini kuih-making factory made in open air by a team of about a dozen workers to meet the man. Well, Baba Charlie, thank you for speaking with us.
Yeah.
I've been here before once in the afternoon, and there was a long queue of people waiting to get in. So obviously you have a reputation for your kuehs. Do you get visitors traveling from far away?
Yeah, we have a lot of Singaporean all the way in Malaysia, like Penang, KL, Ipoh, Johor Bahru, all came here to buy my kuih.
From all over the country?
Yeah, I mean some in Melbourne, in Austria, in China, in Indonesia. They came here to buy my kuih because my name in... Now they put in the internet, people know me.
So people come from as far as China and Indonesia?
Yeah, it's true. They came here to Malacca, say they want to buy a kuih to Baba Charlie house. Yeah.
How would you explain what kuihs are, especially for visitors who might have never seen or tried one?
A kuih like a dessert, like people, local people, they like after makan.
After eating?
After eating lunch, they want to eat a kuih because dessert, you know, they take. And whatever, a kuih is a sweet and lemak, we call lemak, you know.
So rich in coconut fats?
Yeah, coconut, yes, yes.
And there's a lot of colors and textures to these snacks called kuehs, aren't there?
Yeah. See, the kuih, we more in natural leaf, like kuih talam, kuih bongkong, or we have the blue leaf inside. I mean, natural leaf. So they look beautiful.
And it looks blue inside?
Yeah, it's a blue color. It's a leaf we call bunga talang.
It's quite laborious, isn't it? Because you take hours to pound these blue flowers to get that blue color.
Yeah.
In those snacks,
yeah, we need to dry the flour. Then it become dry. Then we boil it. We boil with hot water. Then we just squeeze and get the juice out to get the blue leaf. Looks beautiful. And some we have yellow like Purushkaya. We have Sri Mungka. There's a jagung flavor. And
that's corn flavor. Jagung is corn.
It's a corn flavor, and we have the kuih lapis, white, red, white, and red, white. There's kuih lapis.
So that's like a layered cake. And I think my favorite is the ondeh, which is green dough that's covered in shredded coconut. And once you bite into it, then there's this burst of palm sugar that just fills your mouth.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's onion day. We have to. It's not easy to do by one, and then we have to put the pound sugar inside, so once they bite, they soft and they feel something inside. Yeah.
And it's important to keep things fresh. Can you keep any as leftovers, or are they unsellable the next day?
I mean, the kuih, if we don't keep, you know, we just keep for the neighbor because it's not fresh. We don't sell up. The customer eat, they will complain. Yeah.
And has kuih making been in your family for generations, like so many Peranakan families?
My family, those days I was secondary school, so my mom was starting to sell kuri. She make and sell to the school, to the teacher. Then I was helping my mom. So one day, after all, I was in primary school, I also start to sell the kuih, you know, in my village. The time was those days, the kuih only 5 cents on the kuih. Yeah, 5 cents.
And today it's gone up by quite a bit?
About $1 to $1.20. Yeah, those days about 1970, 75.
Okay. About that. And did your mother's mother make kuih?
Yeah, my mom do kuih. And until now, she helping me. Yeah, I'm doing like family business.
Okay. Have you ever thought of moving to Australia or to Melbourne to start selling your kuehs there, for example?
I was never think to go very far because I love my own country here. I mean, living here, you know, like you go people country, you need to find a lot of things, like you need banana leaf, everything, but they say more expensive.
So the ingredients would be really hard to find overseas.
Yeah, maybe. Because especially like banana leaf, you know, you can't get over there.
And that's essential, isn't it, to wrap most of your kuehs and cook them or steam them?
Yeah, it's true, that one.
So you're very happy in Malacca?
Yeah, it's true. I am very happy.
Thank you very much, Baba Charlie.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks.
That was Baba Charlie, famous for making Malaysian sweet cakes called kuih. And he was speaking with Adeline Ng.
And
Adeline, what's next?
I do just want to let you know that you can get decent Peranakan food in Melbourne. So if you're just curious and want to have a bit of a try, you can look up restaurants like, not really restaurants, more like cafes, eateries. Yep. Nonya Madam Kwong's in Box Hill is one of my favourites. And there's another place called Sue's Delight in Clayton, if you're closer to that area. So I hope you get to try one that's in Melbourne.
And
you might be able to compare it to what you have in Malaysia.
Yeah, it certainly was interesting.